O.J. Simpson, the man of the hour. With every touchdown, he wields his power. In the hearts of fans, his legacy will thrive. The greatest of all time, he'll forever be alive. He'll forever be alive. He'll forever be alive.
Welcome to Ring Nerds Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Ginnert, alongside Brandon Valentine.
Hello, hello.
I don't know if you've heard, but O.J. Simpson is no longer with us.
I did hear that.
And I think we played these guys our last episode, Obscurus Vinyl, but they released a song this morning, and then hours later, O.J. died. Wow. I'm sorry. It shouldn't be funny.
It's
funny.
It's O.J.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure. Right, I think it was more upsetting when he murdered somebody than him passing. Right?
When supposedly murdered somebody.
Oh no, it happened.
Oh well, yeah, we know he murdered somebody. It is what it is,
right? We weren't old enough to necessarily remember his football career.
No.
But we were old enough to remember him announcing football games. We're old enough to remember his sweet role in all the Naked Gun movies.
Oh, yeah.
You know, those types of things. So we definitely knew and grew up with O.J. Simpson. And I can remember, that's one of those things, you know, there's not very many that we've had in our lifetime. Challenger, O.J. Simpson, 9/11. But I remember exactly where the fuck I was at.
Well, I know where I was when that was announced.
Yeah. It was a Friday night. And I was playing basketball at Gracie Hansen. And I remember about 15 of us cramped in the little office there with Chuck. His name is Chuck that ran the basketball thing. And Chuck had a little like 13-inch black and white TV. And that's where we watched the Bronco chase.
Yep. See, I remember not as much the Bronco chase as I remember the verdict.
Well, we were on school.
Mm-hmm.
And we watched it. I had U.S. history that particular year. And we watched that was the first real televised trial.
Yeah. And by that time I was already at Maple Valley. So we all just, because, you know, Maple Valley was 15 kids per like time frame. It was all 45 of us. Like we all came in during that and basically said, hey, on this day, we're all going to be here for this. So we all sat there and watched it.
Isn't that a weird way to get everybody to school?
Yeah, pretty much.
We watched that thing nonstop. And it was required in history class. But I swear the bell ring, you go to your next class. And every class had something on. Whether it was news radio with the radio version of it or, you know, crazy.
Yeah. It was insane. And I mean, it was kind of cool because in a sense it gave us something to talk about because we all immediately like, okay, now that we've heard the verdict, let's talk about it. Cause I mean, there was people that are pissed, like really, you know, and everything else. And it says, you know, it was interesting.
Yeah. Well, the way I look at it too, that thank you, OJ, you gave us the fucking Kardashians.
Yeah.
And for the younger audience that may not know, Robert Kardashian, his lawyer, or one of his lawyers, was a huge part of the trial. And that's how nobody knew who any of these people were. They were just defense lawyers and prosecutors and blah, 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 blah. And I remember. Do you remember their names?
What, the lawyers?
Yeah.
Not really. I remember Kardashian, and there was, what was the, I should know his name. And there was the other one that was really famous.
I can't
think. The one that they talk about constantly.
I can't think of the dude who, if it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
Yeah.
I keep wanting to say Al Cowings, but Al Cowings was the guy who was driving the Bronco. That was his buddy. Marsha Clark was the prosecutor. Mark Furman was the lead detective. Judge Lance Ito.
Of course, not Cato Kalin was the one driving the.
No, Al Cowens, his old college teammate from USC.
That's right. Cato Kalin was the one that lived in his like
mother-in-law apartment or whatever that he rented out
his
to
pool.
He was like a struggling actor or something. Lived in his pool house or whatever it was. And he's the one who heard noises or something like that and I think stumbled onto the scene. What the... Johnny Cochran. There we go. I didn't even have to look it up.
There we go, yeah.
Johnny Cochran. I knew it'd come to me. Yeah, I mean, I remember all those guys' names, you know.
If the glove don't fit, you must have quit.
Yep. Yep. Crazy. Crazy. I saw Danny was like, why is everybody saying rest in peace? You know, he's even on top of it. But,
yeah.
Again, young, right?
He is.
He only knows him as Murderer OJ, Kidnapper OJ. Because that's what he went to jail for, right? Was kidnapping and whatever when somebody...
I think it was kidnapping and theft because he was trying to get back. Somebody had his...
He sold his Heisman and he was trying to steal it back.
Yeah, he was trying to steal it back or something. And yeah, there was something weird and he like held them in hostage in their room or something crazy.
I didn't know until today that he wrote a book, OJ did, called...
If I Did It?
Yeah. I don't remember that at all.
Oh, I do, because I mean, it's like, wow.
Yeah, I've actually learned a lot today. That was the one thing about OJ I learned. I watched a Little Richard documentary this morning. And, I mean, I knew he was the originator of rock and roll and way before Elvis, blah, 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 blah. I had no clue that he gave the Beatles their first ever performance before they even had an album, a song, or anything. He took the Rolling Stones on tour with him. Before they were the opening act. They, as Mick Jagger said in the documentary, they were a cover band. They didn't even have an original song yet. And he took them on tour with him. Jimi Hendrix was his guitarist before Jimi Hendrix was Jimi Hendrix.
That's insane.
Yeah, I was blown away by it. Blown away by it.
But. Wow. See, that's the thing that gets interesting because, like, you know, I do the other podcast where the down the rabbit hole. What I find most fascinating on that isn't the whole conspiracy theory idea. It's the history. When I do episodes and I'm talking about history of something that happened and you find out all those little nuances, like, I never knew that about this person.
Yeah. I mean, I thought I knew quite a bit about him. I've loved him forever. I've seen him in concert. I think 4 times is what I saw him in concert. I didn't realize he went on a big tour bashing gay people.
Little Richard did?
Yeah. He refounded, like, so he grew up in the church, right? That's where he grew up singing, and just like everybody in Alabama and Arkansas, you know, the Deep South where he was from. And his dad hated him because he was so flamboyant and gay and, you know, whatever else. And then years later, down the road, his brother died. And when his brother died, he turned the leaf and went back into the church and started touring with the gospel and saying that God found him and cured him of his homosexuality and... Would use the line constantly, God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
Wow.
Yeah. And then, of course, broke away from that later in life. And, you know, so God, it was still gospel, but God created everybody, loved everybody, you know, blah, 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 blah. But I thought that was weird. Tutti Frutti. The original line of that song is Tutti Frutti, Oh Booty. And it's about anal sex. Good golly, Miss Molly. Sure like the ball.
I have heard the Tutti Frutti, Oh Booty.
Yeah. Good golly, Miss Molly. Sure like the ball. Was just what you think it was. Because he said at the time, he was fucking men and women. He said in like a 4-year stretch in the 50s, he probably had sex with 1,500 different people. Men, women, didn't matter.
How did he, I mean...
big fucking, how do you get away from AIDS? Yeah, I don't know.
How did he not get like every STD known to man? And woman.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought the same thing as I was listening to these stories. But the Tutti Frutti a booty part, he used to play in this black club, and there was two women there that sang just nasty, filthy songs too. Tugging on my tits and pulling my pussy lips and all this shit.
And which he, you go and look at some of those older like 40s, 50s, 60s, you know, especially, you know, the African-American clubs and stuff like that and the songs that they were singing. And it's like, oh, wow.
I heard something about it, but I'd never really delved into it. And they did quite
a, I have a little bit.
They did like 15, 20 minutes on all of that today. And I was like, whoa, that's pretty fucking nuts. Like, you just think of the times, right? You think of Leave It to Beaver and the Cleveland, you know, that type of shit. And nope, here we go. I was like, whoa. So, yeah, I found all that shit pretty interesting. I knew he was in the first Rock and Roll Hall of Fame class. He did not get to attend. He was in a car accident right before.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And they didn't re-bring him on stage until he did the induction for, I think it was Otis Redding, and basically made it all about himself. Because he didn't get his chance to go on. Yeah, just crazy shit. The one story that made me chuckle, the infamous Janis Joplin clip that we've all seen where she's just singing, fucking killing it, and collapses on stage.
Yeah.
Little Richard was the closer that night. And the second he saw her pass out, he looked at his management team or his entourage, whatever they were, and said, go to the hotel and get me my mirror ball suit. This bitch ain't taking my spotlight. And said when he took the stage, he had a mirror ball suit. The whole thing was just little mirrors. And he just stood on top of his piano, turned it in circles with the spotlight on him like a disco ball for like 10 minutes. And then went out and just fucking killed it.
I could see that.
Which I thought was pretty nuts. But yeah.
Sounds like he really like knew what he wanted and just like nothing's going to stop me. Nothing's going to get in my way.
That's a very, very well-used line from the documentary I just watched. I mean,
that it's just, I'm going to get my way. I'm going to make it.
Everybody that talked about him, you know, whether it was a former artist or blah, 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 all said the same thing. Like Little Richard could be anything and everything all at once. And you were going to like him, and you had no choice about it. Because if you didn't like this Little Richard, there was this Little Richard to like. And if you didn't, you know. And he just did everything the way he wanted to. Like the whole shut up thing. How everybody was like, yeah, there's no way another artist in that time would have got away with that. But just the way Little Richard talked, you know. 90% of it was serious, but he came across with such a tone that people took it as a joke or, you know, they weren't bothered by it. Nothing was offensive, per se.
See, that's what's interesting. There's other people I've seen like that where it's just like they have that personality and everything, and everything they say, nobody becomes offended by it, even though they probably should.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is what it is. Some people are like that. I get told I'm like that all the time.
I can see that.
I got a guy at work that's constantly like, how can you get away with this stuff, but I can't? And I get away with a lot of things. I'm non-threatening.
You can see that.
People can walk fast away from me.
They can.
Yeah. It's pretty easy. All right. I'm dying to know, and I was kind of, when I get service, trying to look at your Facebook, and I never quite caught a did we finish?
Yes.
I did see a post that I think you said you need to work on the run and the swim.
Yeah, I need to get better at those.
But, and I was like, well, his struggle was always the bike up here. So if he doesn't need to work on the bike, but now he's got, did he finish, you know? That's what I wanted to know.
Yeah, I was, the swim, I was out of the water in time. You have an hour and 10
explain,
minutes.
Explain what you did. Just
yeah, I did the Ironman. So it's 1.2 mile swim, 56 mile bike ride, and then you run a half marathon, 13 miles. You have an hour and 10 minutes to get the swim done. I was done in an hour and six. So it was close, but I finished. I got out in time. And then you have what, it's 5.5 hours to get done from the time you start to swim to finish the bike. And I was done, I think, in five.
Oh.
And then you have 8.5 hours to do all of it. My problem was, I finished. What's that?
You had 8.5 hours to do all three parts. What was your final?
I was actually 22 minutes over.
Oh.
So technically I finished, but I'm an unofficial finisher. They still count it as a finish, but I don't know how they do. But yeah, it's still counted as a finish, but to really get it, you're supposed to in 8.5 hours. But I was, by the time I got to the run, what normally would be like a 3 hour run for me, so I would have been fine, was 3 hours and 40 minutes because my legs were just done.
Yeah. Well, what did you do to train? Because before you were doing half marathons, full marathons all the time, so the run was never an issue.
And that's it. I was swimming a lot and riding the bike and not, and I was still, I just wasn't running distance. I have the most distance I've really done is like 7 miles.
So, you know, we, that's so, half, so I right? wasn't half of what you had to do.
Half of what I had to do. So I wasn't doing the distance I should be. Plus, I'm not sure if I pulled something in my hamstring or just have a deep bruise. I got basically, it was either kicked or punched in the swim, which if you've ever done a swim like this, you're just, there's people on top of you. I swam over a guy. So like literally as I was swimming and all of a sudden we were like face to face because I like went right over him. But, and it happened. So I got hit in the back of the leg and it turned into like just a Charlie horse halfway through the swim. And then it never went away. Like it's what, 4 days later, and I've still got that Charlie horse in the back of my leg.
Huh.
So once I got to the run, I couldn't get a good run going because every time I went to like get that run and push off, but that Charlie horse would just clench. So I could, all I could do was like a fast walk. So I couldn't get anything better than like a 15-minute mile.
Oh.
So it was just kind of a combination of everything. Plus, you know, I mean, 56 miles on the bike was, it's a long ways to go.
Yeah. Pretty flat though, right?
Oh yeah. And there was an elevation gain of, I think, 182 feet in that 56 miles. Because you went out like on the seawall in Galveston and straight down the seawall road.
Okay.
And that was it. The only reason there was 182 feet of elevation gain is because you had to go over a bridge.
Ah.
And then, yeah, so you went out 28 miles, turned around, came back, went back over the bridge. So.
Not a whole lot of gear changing.
No, I don't think I think once I got moving, I shifted into the gear I was in, and that's where I stayed the entire time. I never shifted.
Yeah.
Because even the uphill on the bridge wasn't enough to even downshift. I just stayed right where I was at.
Yeah. Probably better off that way. Take less chance of something snapping while you're switching gear.
Yep.
You know, if there's no need to do it.
No, there was no need. So I just stayed in the same gear all the way through.
Well, either way, congratulations.
Thank you.
I know you've been pushing to do that, and nobody came and kicked your ass off the course this time, so.
No. But I do think, I think I was the last person that they let finish. I think everyone behind me, they pulled.
Yeah?
Because, yeah, they, once I walked through, they were pretty much pulling everything down.
Well,
so
take it.
I'm like, whatever.
If you have time, you take it.
Yeah, I got my medal, so I'll probably do it again next year. And now that I know what I need to really work on, I mean, because the other thing is too, it's like one of my friends said, if you get faster on the bike, you have more time on the run.
Yeah.
It's like, that makes sense. I just have to get faster on the bike.
Yeah, so, but I get think faster going on the bike, out and training for 13 instead of 7 miles would probably help, though. Just getting used to that endurance portion of it.
Well, the hard part too is because it's so early in the year, you don't have, like, most everything you do in Washington, nothing starts until June. So you've already had that time to go out after work, go run. And because of what I was doing then, I would get off earlier and I could go run and do whatever. Here, I mean, I had what, 2 weeks where there was enough time after work that I could go run.
Yeah.
So other than Saturday and Sunday, I couldn't, it was on the treadmill or whatever, and I never got a chance to, you know, which really is just making excuses at this point, but whatever.
Yeah. Is what it is.
I finished it. So that was the key to
me.
No,
I think finished so too.
It, and it got me. It felt good to finish it.
I think that's pretty awesome, to be honest with you. So I couldn't fucking do it. That is.
I will tell you though, the next day I went to get up for work because I was gonna go to work. I went to get out of bed, and, my feet hit the floor, and I went to take a step and about fell over, and I'm like, yeah, nope, don't think this is happening. I'm just gonna stay home.
That's me every day. That is me every day. I don't know what's going on with my fucking left hip and quad, but it's torn. You see that? I'm a toy again.
You're what?
Did you just get that picture? Oh, you made a face right as I sent you a picture. I was like, oh.
Oh, that's awesome. Someone got you the Coach Matt, huh?
I am a toy again. Yeah, one of my softball girls and family got me that.
That's awesome.
It's got a beer in one hand and a baseball in the other.
I saw that. I'm like, that's awesome.
Yeah. I thought that was pretty cool. You know me. I'm pretty full of myself. So anytime I can be a fucking toy, I'm ecstatic. I am ecstatic. Yeah. Have you seen, so I watched a movie last night, I'll start with this first, that is basically a high budget version of the shit we've been watching lately with the, maybe not lately, but the shit we've been talking about, the T-Rex and Tammy and the Velocipaster and shit like that. Have you seen the, what the fuck is it, the Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent?
I've heard of that one, but I don't know what
the
is
Nick
that
Cage movie playing Nick Cage.
Oh, the one with Pedro Pascal.
Yeah,
I'll be honest. I've watched it. It is the only Nick Cage movie.
I know you hate Nick Cage,
but I love that movie just because he cracked me up.
Yeah, yeah,
because he makes fun of himself. Like when he sees that, what is it? The wax figure of himself with the guns. And he's like, that is fucking horrible. I'll give you $10,000 for it.
Yeah. What is that hideous fucking thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Are the guns real? Yeah. I'll give you $10,000 for it.
it cracked me up because it makes fun of every stereotype we all think of Nick Cage.
But is that not just a horrible plot and blah, blah, Tammy and the T-Rex, and I mean, it's like something somebody came up with in their basement, but it was probably Nick Cage that came up with it. Let's be honest.
Probably, but like I said, I mean, it's one of those ones that you're watching. It's like, this is so bad, but just the fact that he's making fun of himself and everything else cracks me up because he's like, oh yeah, I would do this for the money.
All the nods to the movie, his movies too, Pedro Pascal throwing him the keys. You drive. What? I'm not driving. You're the fastest driver. I heard you did your own stunts and gone in 60 seconds. Oh, shit. He's like, no, I didn't. I saw the featurette. Oh, fuck. cracked me up. I actually really enjoyed the movie last night. I thought it was horrible. It was fucking horrible. But horribly entertaining.
And that's it. That's one of the things. I think that's one of the things we've had conversations about this before with a lot of movies. The movie's horrible, but if I'm entertained, that's all I wanted.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, it doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to entertain me.
It was definitely entertaining.
Yeah.
No doubt about that. It was definitely fucking entertaining. Pedro Pascal is fucking fantastic in it.
Yeah.
To be honest, Tiffany Haddish was pretty good in it. She cracked me up as Vivian or whatever, the CIA agent.
Yeah.
Yeah, she cracked me up. So,
oh, yeah.
No, I thought it was pretty good. We got home yesterday, and by the time we got unpacked and everything, I was like, I just want to sit and veg out. And typically when I'm in that, I try to find something I've already seen. That way if I nod and doze. And I was like, I need to watch.
It doesn't matter.
I need to watch something new. And so I flipped that on, and I was pleasantly surprised with it.
Yeah, that was one that Amber got me to watch a little while back, and I'm like, Nicolas Cage. But then I watched it, and I'm like, okay, I'm not that.
Don't get me wrong. Nicolas Cage is a horrible actor, but he is no different than Keanu Reeves.
That's just rude.
But true. Monotone. Yeah. Not a real exciting personality. Not typical Hollywood good looks. Like, you know. But, again, I think he makes entertaining movies. Con Air. I love Con Air.
Now, and I will be honest, Con Air is one that I can watch.
Do I necessarily like it for him? No, there's so many other good fucking things in it.
Yeah.
With Malkovich and Buscemi. Ving Rhames is fucking fantastic in it. Why can't I think of Cusack? John Cusack is good in it.
Yeah, John Cusack, yeah.
That movie's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
That one's good, I mean, because that's one of those ones that's good despite him.
Nick Cage's 80s movies are pretty... I love Raising Arizona.
Yeah, that one's okay. I can...
I like
it's
Valley
one of those
Girl.
Ones... Like, a lot of his movies, I'm not going to put them on, but I'm not going to, like, immediately shut them off either.
Oh, I'll shut a lot of them off. I'll shut Gone in 60 Seconds off.
Yeah, Gone in 60 Seconds is my favorite. I like the Rock is fun to watch mainly because I like Sean Connery. But.
Yeah, The Rock's another good story behind it. Well written. Mm-hmm. You know, Connery, again, you can't go wrong, right?
No.
But
and the whole theory that movie is just James Bond, that he is James Bond.
Yeah. I know it's a small role, but I like him in Kick-Ass as Big Daddy.
Yeah.
I was not a fan of Face Off.
No, because, I'll be honest, John Travolta isn't my favorite either. So, I mean, you put two really bad actors together.
John Travolta's got two good movies.
That's pushing it.
I love Grease.
Okay, yeah, you got it.
And, what's the Tarantino one? I keep wanting to say Kill Bill. It's not Kill Bill. It's fucking Pulp Fiction.
No. Pulp Fiction, yeah.
It's good.
Yeah.
I do like Nick Cage in Leaving Las Vegas. Yeah, that might be the end. I'm thumbing through his movies here. I forgot that he played Superman. They made that nod in the Flash movie. That new Flash movie?
Yeah, I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, there's a scene where he's Superman. You haven't watched the new Flash movie with Keaton as Batman again?
No. I'm scared.
It's actually...
Honestly.
It's a good movie for DC. My big issue, especially in the Batman scenes, is they really, really... pound the crap out of Batman 89, trying to get him to make sure he says all his one-liners in the 20 minutes he's in the movie.
I don't like Batman. Yeah.
Some of them fit, some of them don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just going through this fucking...
Like I said, I haven't watched it because I've been afraid to, because I'm like, oh,
but
it's going to be bad, isn't it?
He was cast to play Superman after Christopher Reeve. When they came out with Superman Returns, and I can't remember why he lost it, but he lost it to Brandon Routh. Fuck Ghost Rider. Those movies were horrible. right there.
He lost it because he's Nicolas Cage.
Yeah. World Trade Center was a good movie.
I never watched that one. I've never been a big fan of those ones.
I have never watched National Treasure.
Really?
Nope.
That one's not... It's not great, but it's one that I can... I mean, if you zone out, it's not too bad.
Oh, and I forgot. It Could Happen to You. I do like that movie.
I don't think I've ever seen that one.
It's a chick flick. Goes in a restaurant and he leaves the fucking waitress a lotto ticket for a tip and she wins.
Yeah.
It's just, you know me. It's my cutesy little
chick
flick shit. Oh, yeah. Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Yeah, but he's... Does that even count? He's in it for, like, what, 30 seconds?
Well, I mean, we count Kevin Bacon in Animal House.
Yeah, but he's actually got a part. In Fast Times, he's, what, one time behind the counter, and then he's, like, you know, one of Bacoli's friends for, like, 2 seconds, I think.
Yeah.
And in that movie, he's not even Nicolas Cage in that movie, by the way.
No, it's Nicolas Coppola.
Yeah.
How is Sophia related to him?
Sophia Coppola? I think she's a cousin. Because Sophia Coppola is Francis Ford Coppola's daughter, right?
I was trying to look that up. Because I watched one of her movies last week. What a fucking shit show that was.
Which one?
Cousin. She just did that movie Priscilla. That is 2.5 hours of my life I will not get back.
Well, then I'm guessing I'm not going to watch now.
It's based off Priscilla Presley's book, Elvis and Me.
Yeah.
And it's fucking slow as shit. It's non-informative. Like, you don't even have to do a Google search to find out the things they talked about in it. Or, you know, portrayed. Oh, she was underage. Yeah, everybody fucking knew she was underage. Yeah. Oh, she was on an army base with Elvis. Everybody fucking knew she was on an army base with Elvis. Oh, Elvis cheated on her. Fucking shocker.
Yeah, pretty much everyone knew that.
Oh, she divorced Elvis. The end of the movie. That's it. 2.5 fucking hours. The only reason I put that on, Tosh loves Elvis, and I was like, oh, we could watch this, and she can get a little bit of Elvis, but I don't have to get a full Elvis fucking movie.
Yeah.
And fuck me sideways, that piece of shit. That movie was so bad, and I think everybody knew it was going to be fucking bad, that Elvis's estate wouldn't sign off on fucking her using Elvis's music. There's probably footage of Elvis singing like 4 or 5 songs in it, and they're all somebody else's song, like cover songs.
Wow.
If you got a movie about any of the Presleys and you can't use a Presley song, pretty fucking bad.
That is pretty bad.
Pretty fucking bad.
They don't agree with you at all.
No. No, it was a horrible fucking movie. God, it was fucking horrible.
Hey, what's that?
I can't remember if you're a gin person or not.
A what?
A gin.
Gin?
Gin.
Like the drink?
Yeah.
No.
Oh. Well, I put on my Father's Day list. It comes out in June. Aviation Gin, the Deadpool batch.
See, and I thought he sold, but I guess they still could make the Deadpool batch, yeah.
He may have sold most of the shares or whatever. I'm sure he still has a hand in it. Or wants to see it do well, and the new owners came to him and said, hey, let's run with this and see what we can do. Who knows? It could have been easy as, dude, we'll donate 50% of the profits. You let us use the name Deadpool. We'll donate 50% of the profits, you know, to a charity of your choosing and call it good.
Could be.
The problem is, right, you not being a gin person, if you bought it, you would have a cool bottle of gin just sitting there as an art piece. I'm a gin person. It ain't going to last too long.
Yeah, see, I'm more of a rum or whiskey.
Yeah, I knew that, but I mean, I'm definitely more of a rum too, but
yeah.
And I've got a couple bottles of Peach Crown right now. Brought back a bottle and a half from camping.
Nice. I just got some new rum. I don't remember what it's called though, but it's pretty good actually.
I saw at Walmart in Ephrata a cherry vanilla Captain Morgan's rum. Now, what's shitty is the Walmart in Ephrata, you had to stand in that one check stand if you wanted alcohol.
Yeah.
That one check stand was 30 people long. And I went, fuck that. I was hoping Big Wally's up there in Cooley City had it, but they did not.
See, and what's interesting, like here, because it's still like, remember how it used to be in Washington where you have to go to the liquor store.
Yeah.
That's how it still is in Texas. So it's interesting, and I forgot how like much different liquors there are, because you usually just find the top ones really at like the grocery stores, unless you go to a wine, you know, Wine and More or whatever. But here there's specs. And I found one, and here it is. It comes in a freaking leather bag.
Yeah.
It's pecan praline whiskey.
Yeah, I'm not a whole big whiskey guy. Maybe that's the pecan it's praline flavored.
One?
Right, I couldn't just do Jack and Coke like you used to. Nope. Jack is not good at all.
I think you'd like this pecan praline. Amber loves it. And it's like 90 proof or something. It's freaking good shit.
It sounds good. Like I said, I might like it because it's flavored. I want to find and buy the Blackberry Crown.
I might have to look for it down here because we get some, pretty much because Specs.
I heard they did one release and that's going to be it.
Oh, okay. I know Specs down here, they have like a bunch of random, like it's pretty much like the freaking Costco of freaking liquor.
No. No.
I mean, they've got everything.
I fucking hate Costco.
So do I.
You trying to put me in a bad mood? Fucking hate Costco.
I have not been to Costco since I live down here. Amber goes when I'm at work.
I got duped into going to fucking Costco Friday. So Thursday night, Tosh goes, hey, we got to go to Costco tomorrow. Do you want to go? Are you going to want to go? And I was like, you know the answer to that.
Nope.
And so the next morning, she re-asked me, and I'm like, fuck. I'm like, this is what love is. I'll go to Costco. We got there 20 minutes after it opened, and there had to be 300 people in that fucking store already. And every motherfucker in a Costco is rude as shit.
Mm-hmm.
There's no human decency in that fucking place. At all. From the way people walk down the aisles, cut you off. Fuck. By the time we left there... Oh, I was cursing. We get in the fucking car, and the parking lot's just the same assholes that were just in the fucking store. So I'm fucking cursing. And Tosh thought I got it out of my system, and Samantha had called, so she recalled Samantha on video phone to chat with Carson. And the first words out of my mouth, you fucking cunt! And I'm like punching the dash and shit. She's like, sorry, I thought Matt was done.
Thought it was done. It's not.
No, fuck that fucking place. I will take Walmart any day of the week twice on Sunday. Yeah, they might be poor, but they're not rude.
Yeah. No, we go to usually here I'll go to Walmart and I'll go to HEB or maybe Kroger, but when it comes to Costco, Amber can go when I'm at work.
Yeah.
And she's actually gotten to the habit now of she just goes to their website and orders the shit and has it delivered.
Well, so Tosh does that quite a bit, right? And I think you have to have $35. And so she'll have her medicine delivered. but her medicine's only like $6 after with insurance or whatever.
Yeah.
And so she'll go, like, while she's ordering, she'll, oh, do we need anything? How's the Nutella? Because we only buy a handful of things there on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
We buy Nutella. They got really good pita bread we like. We buy the muffins. Shit like that. And, but my bad for taking an extra day of vacation. And I was sitting there, and Friday, as my week was planning out, I had nothing to do. Like, no big things to do anyways. And I was like, fuck it, I need a day to, like, get everything packed up and ready to go. And,
yeah.
Well, that fucking backfired. Like, the initial plan was we were going to go to Winco and do our grocery shopping for camping at Winco. We spent, like, 3 fucking hours. We bought 11 items for $130. $120, Jesus. Whatever the fuck it was. Fuck Costco.
Yeah, they're special.
All right, I got that out of my system. Fuck. Hate that fucking place. Good God. Camping, again, did not disappoint. We did Sun Lakes. I think this is year 10 for spring break.
Nice.
Literally 3-4 cabins being used. All 4 of them with us. Like, we went. Old baseball family that we go with all the time. The Torres went. My sister and Chris went. And my in-laws went. That was it. The entire park up to us.
See, that's got to be fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a real good time. Weather was decent. The last full day there, 30-mile-an-hour winds the entire day. And when I, like, from about noon on.
I can remember that from the last time when we were there. The wind was just...
entire day. And then, fuck. So normally we go up golfing, and it's just the adults. Well, Toby's taken an interest in golf. I've taken him a couple times to other little courses and shit. And so I was like, oh, I'm going to take Toby with. And Chris, of course, was like, I'm going to take Dylan. And Victor's like, yeah, my boys are kind of interested in it now, too. We went 12 people fucking deep. One whole, like, we didn't split into groups or anything like that. Took us over 5 hours to golf 9 holes.
Damn.
Yeah. Damn is right. 5 fucking hours. 9 holes.
So what was, by good weather, what do you mean? Huh? How was it like? How good was the weather out there?
It was 65 the entire time.
Lucky.
Yeah.
When I did the Ironman, it was supposed to be 75 and cloudy. It was 85 and fucking sunny.
Hmm. Yeah, no, we've had it in April where we've had 75 over there.
Yeah.
And we've also had it where we had to stay 2 extra days because the pass was closed due to snow.
Yeah.
Last year, it snowed on us while golfing.
So when you want to break out the orange balls, they're easier to find in the snow.
So, yeah, we were pleasantly happy with this year's weather. Yeah, so it turned out pretty well.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, now we start planning the next one. The last, I think we're going on 4 years or 5 years now. For Memorial Day, we do Sand Hollow and Vantage. It started because it was like the week before Memorial Day, and all of a sudden everybody was like, oh, we should go camping. I'm like, where the fuck are we going to go camping? Everything's booked. I was like, wait a second. I remember the shithole one that used to be free. And it's like $12 a night now. But we went, and the first year we went, it was 90 degrees. There's not tree one or nothing for shade. I didn't bring a pop-up. We drove my car. And so I would just pop the hatch, leave the car running with the AC, and you would sit in the back to cool off. The next year we went and we're like, fuck it, we're taking the truck. We need to bring pop-up tents for shade. It poured the entire time. Yeah. Last year was last year was about 75 the whole time. Perfect. So you never know what you're going to get, but...
Yeah, makes sense.
And you'll be also happy to know that the Mad Libs got some play.
Yes.
As our road trip game. We did some Mad Libs while heading over. And then on the way back, everybody downloaded road trip bingo cards on their phone and played road trip bingo on the way back.
But did you have to explain to them what everything was like we do with Special K?
No, not even Toby. I think we had to explain what an adverb was to him.
Remember every time, okay, we need an adjective. What's an adjective again? God damn it. Damn it, Kevin.
Oh, fucking Kevin. Fucking Kevin. Well, he sent me something today. What? You can always tell.
We love Kevin. We make fun of Kevin, but we really do love Kevin, but you kind of have to love the special ones.
The pop yourself through Funko, mm-hmm. You can now pop yourself as Wolverine or Deadpool.
Oh.
So I may have to be another toy here soon.
That would be kind of cool.
And I'm going to have the box say Fat Pool. Yeah, fuck it.
That would be kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I haven't... He just sent me a screenshot of like somebody's tweet, so I... Oh, there's not even a website to click on. It might not be up and live yet. I don't know.
Who knows? Sounds awesome, though.
I don't know. Maybe I'll make him buy me one.
You should.
Yeah.
I would.
Yeah, so... I did buy concert tickets. We're taking the kids to another concert this year.
No, what is it?
We're going to go see Limp Bizkit.
Nice.
But here's the best part. The best part's for me. The opening band is Corey Feldman and his Angels.
You were telling me about that. That is awesome.
So we did pull the trigger. At $20 a pop, why not?
Yeah, why not?
I mean, if I took them to anything they wanted to see, I'd spend $100 or more per ticket.
Yeah.
This, I'm getting all five of us for $100. So, yeah, pretty excited about that. But Corey Feldman.
Oh, I have his book. You want it?
No. No, I do not.
You want choreography?
No.
That's what it's called. Choreography.
I don't doubt it. I do not doubt it in the slightest. Choreography, no. Huh?
Yep.
Oh, Mr. Feldman.
He's a special one.
Yeah. He's something. I'm going to assume you haven't, but did you go see the new Kong Godzilla?
Not yet, no. We've been so busy with everything else. That's this weekend we're planning on going to see something.
I haven't seen any of the new ones, but I've heard such good things about this that I might.
Yeah.
I didn't see like Kong Skull Island or any of the newer versions. No. I don't think I've seen a Kong one since Peter Jackson's original King Kong.
No.
Yeah.
Man. Is that the one with Jack Black in it that was so bad?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now do you see why?
Yeah. I would stop going too.
So.
Trying to think. I know we're planning because Benton is actually coming up.
Down.
Down, whatever. He's flying down for his birthday on the 27th. So I think we're going to go see a movie when he's here.
Okay.
But I'm not sure what we were planning on going to see, so.
Speaking of birthdays, tomorrow's Bella's 16th.
That's not possible.
It is.
Yeah.
You know, she is actually right now on her way to go do her test. Her drive test. And then tomorrow I get to go sit at DMV.
So you're actually going to let her go get a license?
Yeah. I mean, she can't drive, but yeah. I mean, she can. Her car's not done. And again, I've made it perfectly clear that I will help you, but you're going to be out there to do the work, and I'm not going to egg you on, because if you don't drive, I don't give a shit. I save money.
Yeah. But, I mean, now you have a built-in, you know, designated driver. She can come pick you up.
Yeah. But I asked her a month ago to go get the fucking tire size off. Oh, I don't know how to do it. I explained to her what the numbers look like. You know, mm-hmm. You're going to get like a 165, 75, and an R number. You know, somewhere.
Yeah.
And Tosh even took a picture, like a screenshot on her phone of Google or whatever with like a red box around the number and texted it to her. She still hasn't gone out and got them. Now, mm-hmm. I have. That way I know how much I'm looking to put new tires on the car. My mom, for Christmas this year, bought her a new battery. It's still sitting in the garage. It needs, you know, all the fluids flushed. It just hasn't started in almost 2 years now. I mean, we haven't driven it in almost 2 years, so.
I mean, eventually she's going to suddenly want to do it and be like, well, good luck, kid.
Yeah. I've been trying to get her to do it before ball season started, because right now it's just, she's slammed too.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah, because it's going to be one of those things she's going to be like, hey, it would be good if I could drive. Well, maybe you should have got your car going.
Yeah. And who knows?
Yeah.
There's going to be days where Tosh is like, I don't want to pick you up, just take the truck. Because I'll be just, out coaching, so.
Yeah.
We are 1-1, speaking of coaching. We're 1-1 so far this year with the girls' team. No games yet with Toby's. I will be shocked if we win a game with Toby's team.
Nice.
We got about 4 kids total that can throw the ball from, third short to first. Maybe another 4 that can get it from second to first.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it's brutal.
It's going to be rough. It reminds me today, one of the guys I work with is talking about, I guess, like, their fall or winter ball or whatever ended, and they're about to start spring, I guess. But at the end of it, they did the whole get-together
and
gave everyone certificates instead of trophies, and the coach went up there and basically, like, insulted every kid. I guess they lost every game all season, so he just went up there, and instead of being like, you know, you're supposed to go up there and say why you love having the kid or whatever, he's like, you're would be well enough for it, looks like. Most expensive bat, no fucking idea how to use it. Like, it just went through the whole lineup, and like, every kid just,
it's gonna be rough. It's gonna be rough. The guy I'm coaching with is really good. Knows his shit. We're trying to, I mean, we've done nothing but fundamentals and we still can't get him down. Like fundamentals on how to throw a ball and, you know, how to pull your arm back and over the top. And
what age are they?
9, 10. But I think we only have 1 10-year-old.
But even that, I mean, by 9...
They're all coming up from coach pitch.
By 9? I mean, even in coach pitch, you were teaching the kids how to throw.
We have to train the fucking... Oddly enough, there's 4 kids from my team last year, and those are the kids that'll pitch first base, short, and third. Like...
Yeah.
So, there's a couple other decent... potential decent kids... And then there's just some that this could be their last year.
I mean, some of them, I mean, by 9 or 10, you maybe weren't fully picking positions yet for the kids, but you were at least at a point saying, okay, this person can be an infielder. This person could be an outfielder. You were at that point, usually by 9 or 10.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we're not. No, we're not.
Like I said, maybe not picking a full position yet, but at least saying, okay, yeah, this person has the the pay attention enough to be in the infield, and this person could be definitely has the arm to be an outfielder, but yeah.
So the start of, the start of practice every day, we line them up, we do stretches, you know, that type of shit, and then we put them 10 feet apart, down on one knee, and just learning to bring the ball down by your thigh, up over your shoulder, throw. Right, we call it thumb to thigh, ball to the sky, throw. I guarantee you we don't have one group of two that can complete 20 in a row. 10 feet away. And not just, you know, some kids have new gloves that aren't quite broken in. Like, not those. I'm talking like wild throws, ball not getting there all the way. 10 feet. And then we stand them up and we just let them stand still. And work on just the arm motion. Nope. Then we back them up a little bit and we go into full throws. Nope. It's dangerous. I've never felt like, so scared in my life to be behind the line.
Because by like 9 or 10, I remember I was teaching kids how to pitch.
Yeah.
Because that's how I tore my rotator. Was teaching freaking...
Yeah, and we have to do that. Now we...
It was full ball teaching. Teaching everyone how to pitch.
Right. I like I said, I have four kids that I had in fall ball last year. Three of those will pitch. They were my pitchers last year. But after that, I don't know what the fuck's going on.
It's all about having fun, though, right?
And that's what I keep telling myself. It's so weird. Tuesdays, I'm like, no rain, please, no rain. Thursdays, no rain, please. Monday... Fuck, I hope we get rained out. Fuck, I hope we get rained out. Except...
But who knows? I mean, they may end up suddenly coming together by the end of the year.
Yeah, it could. It could. I'm hoping something clicks. Because right now, it's not. You have too many worried about their own shit.
My first year in CBAC, that was a thing. Because I ended up basically... Everyone went through and picked all the kids that they knew were good. And I got all the new kids and the kids that nobody wanted. In the very beginning of the season, we were getting routed every game. By the end of it, we started actually winning games because all of a sudden, things started clicking.
Yeah, so who knows? God, I'm hoping. I am.
You know, it was nothing I did. I wasn't that good of a coach. It was, and they just started clicking.
Yeah. I'm fucking hoping. I did have a girl possibly break her nose. Her mom hasn't. Ooh. That was on Saturday's game. And through spring break, her mom hasn't gotten back to me besides... That it's super swollen, and we'll see. But that was Saturday afternoon. She was my shortstop, and she went out to cut off. No, sorry. She was my second baseman who was standing on second base. Short went out to cut off. I'm yelling cut three, and the center fielder just fired it to second base, and she was turned sideways to look at third base because that's where I'm yelling for the ball to go. It smashed right in her nose, just blood fucking everywhere.
Oh.
Just, I mean, blood fucking everywhere.
Yikes.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy.
Always watch the ball, never look where you think it's going.
Yeah, even at 14U.
Yeah.
Although my girls range from 10 to 14.
Yeah.
And Araya's batting 1,000 on the year.
Nice. Go meet.
So, she doesn't have one hit in high school yet. She's got 5 through 2 games down here. Hopefully, this will build her confidence. Because her high school coach just fucking sucks something fierce.
Oh, it's the worst.
Yeah. They're not good. They're not good for the girls. It's nothing but... They won 14-2, and every girl walked off that field in tears because the coach fucking laid into them about how bad they were.
And they won 14-2?
Yeah.
It's going to be one of those years, huh?
Yeah. Well, one of the coaches played with Samantha on C team and wasn't very good, nor very well liked as a player. I had said something to Samantha. I'm like, God, I wish I remember this lady because she fucking reminds me of somebody who wasn't very good, but now has the authority as coach. And she goes, Dad, she wasn't. She wasn't good at all. Like, oh. Makes sense.
Like they say, those who can do, those who can't teach.
Mm-hmm. Makes fucking sense. So.
It does.
And then the only other, I mean, really cool thing, and it might end up sucking me back in for one more year, is Araya told me she had 3 or 4 girls come up to her and ask if I was coaching again next year. And she was like, I don't think so, because I won't, you know, I'll have aged out. And they're like, well, we're not going to play then either. And I told Araya, I go, well, if they come to me and ask me to coach them, I'm going to struggle to say no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's hard. I mean, that's one of those things. I think, you know, that would have kept me in. If someone would have come to me and said, hey, you know, if you keep coaching, I'll stay playing. And I'm like, okay, I guess I'm here.
Yep.
Let's go for it.
Yeah. So. Oh. Yeah. Sorry, I just got a notification. Speaking of, Cato Kalin believes O.J. Simpson was guilty of murder. Wonder if he had moments of penance before death.
Huh?
Cato. Cato's probably fucking ecstatic he gets to be in the news again.
Yeah, nobody knows who he is if it wasn't for O.J.
Not at all. He made some movies.
I'm still like, who the fuck is he?
What? He's been in some movies. Let me see here. Not many. And I think most of them were after the O.J. He was in Basketball, which was 98. Oh. He was in The Last Sharknado. The one.
Still have no idea who he is.
Let's see. A bunch of shit I've never heard of. Like a bunch of shit. We should just do a day where we go watch Cato Kalin movies and talk about them. Because I bet you these are fucking winners. Oh, he played himself in Pauly Shore's Dead. He was
But that was that one where it was all about like child actors and actors that like nobody remembers.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. Yeah. I mean, we got one called The Pub of Heaven. Oh, that was a TV show that I'd never heard of. Pre OJ, he was in Cyborg 3. He was uncredited in Hail Caesar. Yeah. And he was going by Brian. Not Cato. Brian Kalin. So.
Weird.
That's our boy. All right, sir. Well, again, congratulations on finishing your triathlon.
Thank you.
I do think it's awesome. So. All right. Well. We'll see what next week brings as we are still trying to figure out this fucking schedule of mine.
Yeah, we'll get it.
All right. Well, I guess with all that being said, guys, remember to be excellent to each other.
Hug the ones you love.
And we'll see you next week.
See you later.